And welcome to the Still Telling It Like It Is program. I'm Apostle Baker J. Baker, who is a doctor in psychology. And today, my Wednesdays are really, they rock. I get the opportunity to be with a very good friend who is funny, who is deep, who is historian, who is just a fabulous person. I like him. I love him and I like him. And his name is Apostle Barry Cook, who's a doctor and all these other kinds of things, you know, but he is so down to earth. He is so real. And push your little button. Hi, Betty Jo, welcome. Push your little button and share this with your friends and your family and your enemies and all of those other kinds of people, because Apostle Barry is going to rock us with some stuff today. So come on, Apostle Barry.
Dr. Baker, you are so kind. You must not get out of the house much.
I tell you. I don't.
I appreciate the kind words. Yeah, it's been wonderful.
No, they're true. You forgot to say what you always say. You say, I appreciate the kind words, and I know that they're true. See, that's
no. No, I just said that once to you. What was that you said to me? Do I have anything?
Yeah, you have. Hold on. Yeah, there you go.
What is it? Oh, yeah. Do you have anything special? I said, Doc, everything I say special.
I'm loving it. William Anderson on here, and we got Denise Russell Myers on here, and Betty Restream Joe or whoever that is. So we got a number of people that's already joining us. See, you know, they know you're going to rock today.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Anyway, praise God. I'm glad to be able to continue to talk about things of the Spirit and our applications, and be able to talk about different things and just surface things. That's one of the things, the reasons I do keep coming back, because I definitely enjoy that. And it's critical. Today, I kind of want to head down a line of thought God's really been dealing with me about in this season about. We've been good builders in this last season. So many churches built, you know, good facilities. So many of the young churches started out with good facilities and, you know, and just different day and all of this. But, you know, building in the Spirit was not as detailed as building in the natural. And, but you can't build in the natural and produce what God is wanting us to produce in the Spirit. But the main thing is the people don't get the journey, because the journey in a Spirit build contains a grace that moves upon the people, moves through the leader, moves upon the people. You say, but you want about not needing a leader, but I'm going to tell you, there's always people that spearhead it, always is. There's people that carry words, there's people that carry anointings, there's people that carry revelation of that, and that thrust along, people that see it prophetically and call it in, people that, you know, begin to put terms and set order to it and train people, and they step up higher in their walk. This is the Christian journey. So, you know, we must be builders in the Spirit. The times we're in, we have no doubt talking about the natural times, the speed of AI and the speed of, you know, which a lot of people don't keep up with that kind of stuff, but it's here already, and it's coming more and more rapidly to take over things, and hopefully while we're still alive, it'll be okay. Who knows about our kids in the future? But we got to pray for them. But you know, the thing about it is that we see the revivals breaking out in places and make a big deal, and then you got the other camp that's like, dude, you guys, this is where we're supposed to be living. Like, this isn't like this big significant thing. It's really making God the center of what's going on. So he overdoses us in constant revival meetings that dip us down in there and try to change our belief systems about being so self-centered that then when we go back, you know, we're supposed to make an adjustment and be thankful we're not going every day and night. And we can carry it in our spirits now. We can get up. We can engage at home. We can engage with our family in new ways and walk in new heights of places. And then that leads us in new interactions with a higher group of friends and so on and so forth. But the goodness of God spreads over hearts of those that are seeking after God. This is where any building starts. you know, building things up in the spirit. If we feel weak right now, it's that we have to understand the goodness of God, and we have to understand there is a grace that wants to come into our hearts if we're seekers, and not just seeking to get, but seeking to seek, because that's usually how seeking goes. You know, we can seek to get and get really disappointed, but when you seek just to get God, it grows. It grows as you seek, and the longing grows. Then the experiences start to grow, and then you want more, and then you experience new places. You experience new ways to get revelation. You know, but it's because you engage in seeking after God, not seeking after anything else. And that's why we always say even ministry is birthed out of intimacy. And the longer the people stay under a saturated spiritual atmosphere or an open heavens, the more changes that take place in people's lives. I mean, bottom line, everybody's got dogmas, beliefs, but what changes them is the impact of the spirit, those saturated experiences, spiritual environments, interactions they have, interactions with I have people sometimes that I think are just going to be a normal meeting, and they just ooze with the spirit of God the whole time. And they're not trying to. They're just trying to meet, but they kiss. Whoa, my God, I kept feeling this, and I'm feeling that. I'm thinking that. I'm like, well, you better write it down. You know, me too. You know, where it's like something starts to happen. Well, that's an open heavens. I mean, you can't. It isn't just something that just happens, but it happens because of what you do on a regular basis in seeking after God. You know, it doesn't happen because you know, saturated services don't happen just because the service is long. Let me just say that while we're on the subject. You know, it happens because the church is ministering under open heavens. Just like it doesn't mean, you know, well, how did you guys step into a flow just talking at a table? Well, we didn't spend 7 hours laying on the floor. I mean, matter of fact, never crossed our mind. We really didn't even have a formal prayer. We just kind of went into it, just started talking, meeting, doing life, but sharing. Because it's a place we're living at. We're not living down here. We're not living in Tinkerland. We're striving after God, you know? And that's what it means to be a Christian. I mean, if people just understood that and got disqualified for talking out, trying to preach to people and give them doctrine on Facebook, it would cut out 3/4 of the people just about, because they don't want to be rooted. But those of us who are builders in the spirit and understand it and seek after it, we understand that not only the need to keep people underneath such a saturated atmosphere, but also the need to teach people to actively relate and commune with the presence of the Lord. Because it's, again, you know, we've heard it said a million times, when you first come to the Lord, the anointing comes on you. You get revived, renewed, you get healed, you get delivered. I mean, it's doing the deep work in you to transition you into seeing the kingdom and move you from old mindsets that have hindered you, fleshly things that have hindered you from seeing the things of God. And but as you begin to grow in the Lord, you begin to see it and feel it. And builders in the spirit have learned that to live under an open heaven is how you witness God move. And it's not a pressure that every minute you have to be, oh, I've got to be, you know, doing this, and I have to pray for every person that passed. It just means you're living in a spot where you've learned to be balanced in your life. You ain't wigging out feeling like you got to touch everybody and save the whole world. Neither are you one of those that say, but I'm having my own time, and I don't have nothing to do with all that Jesus stuff when I'm at Jesus stuff. Or here's another, I don't bring work home. Wait, we were talking about worshiping God. We weren't talking about administration stuff. We were talking about worshiping God. Like, what? You don't, what do you mean? You don't, I had a pastor's wife say that one time to me. You know, I was just like, I put my fork down. I'm like, oh, Jesus, here we go. I'm like, oh, no. I looked at him and I said, are you going to say something you want me to? Because I'm about to. No, just calm down. I've said wrong choice. You know, anyway, wrong choice. But, you know, we live in a spot where we're expecting builders in the spirit who have learned to work in spiritual climates and atmospheres have also developed a ministry style of revelation straight into the hearts of men. Now, that's a fat sentence. Builders in the spirit have learned to work in spiritual climates. Okay. In atmospheres, because every time you enter a place, it's different dynamics. So you can't, to be a builder in the spirit, you do tons of preparation and you load your tool belt up with 10 things you might need that you can best figure out could be a possibility in order to get where you need to go. Meaning you practice all you want, but if the atmosphere is not right, or you can get claps, but you're just not sensing the spirit moving. There's a difference. And if you're not aware of those things, you just bubble across the top. And I'll tell you what, the enemy can just run you around. You're just still living by emotions and ministering by emotions, you know, what you're feeling and thinking and seeing. But I'm talking about builders in the spirit start to, after a while, they might look like they're the same, doing the same as the other, but they're watching, they're feeling, they're sensing. They may have an illustration or choose a place in their message, but they choose a different one on the spot because the Spirit of God says, no, use this illustration and it'll hit home better. And it's all bam on the spot. But that's because you built an arsenal with it. And you came in meditated and thinking up, not just I've got to perform and execute this message I have and get through it perfectly with the, and I've got this great finish where I'll pull emotions like this. And then I ain't talking about that horse poop. I'm talking about real ministry. You know, that's not ministry. I mean, you don't have to even be saved to do that. Don't try to fool me. I mean, you know, I've been doing this, and they know that, but a lot of people are so scared to build in the spirit. But talking about building in the spirit makes a great conference title, you know, but you know, the senior pastors, you know, let me just say that the men and women of God, they got to have a cutting edge about them because of their own seeking God. Their own seeking, yearning. They're here. They are at 20. They're seeking like they don't know it. At 30, they're seeking like, oh my God, I'm the man. You and me, we can do anything. At 40, they're like, oh God, I'm starting to see I'm not quite what I thought. At 50, they're like, oh Jesus, I hope this was all worth it. At 60, they're usually kind of waking back up to, by God, I'm dying swinging, you know. And it's just this big, big circle that people go back around. But it's critical. What moves you through every place is your own seeking after God, not imitating a new conference or, well, I'm going to use a new structure I learned and I think it'll freshen up the church. Okay, that's cool. But if your spirit is not bringing something fresh and your spirit isn't fresh, it's just going to get blocked behind it and you're going to build a social club surrounded with Christian points of living, you know, but not, and probably avoid some of them like most people do today, you know, with the senior pastor, the person in charge, the team leader, whatever you want to call it, you know, their greatest contribution to the church would be to bring the people closer to God by opening the heavens, providing them free access to God's presence, access, and then teaching them the anointing does not come on you just to lay on the floor. The anointing does not, right now, when you baby, you suck your thumb and lay on the floor. But as you grow, and you know, it's not about your goosebumps. Oh, you have goosebumps. That's good. I remember, and see, this is going to be tough for some folks, but let me just talk to you about ministry training versus your Candyland training. In ministry land training, I'm glad of y'all. But anyway, you know, in ministry.
Okay, wait a minute. We got Tinker. You got Tinker. Let me see. You got Tinker thing. Mark, Pastor Mark said that one. And then you got the whatever kind of poop. And now, what one is this one now?
I don't know. What I'm going on with Jesus now. You need to move with the cloud. Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't know. I'm trying to make a point here, bless God. But, you know, and that's the deal, though, is they've got to provide that atmosphere because the anointing of God does not come on us just for a goosebump. It doesn't come on us just to shake. It doesn't come on us to bark. I mean, it doesn't come on. If you, that's the way it affects you, maybe you do got a little dog spirit up in you or something. I don't know. But you know, the point is that ain't why he's coming. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit, Luke 4, comes to do these things. The anointing comes upon us to do these things. The anointing, Jesus said, is in me to give to you to do these things. The anointing comes in you to do these things. The anointing moves through you to others to do these things, not whichever you want it to do, you know, but that's what he comes for. And, you know, well, that's just not how I see it. And that's not how my Jesus, that's the point. You're Jesus versus this Jesus. I'm just telling you that there we go again. Now we go, okay, that's cool. I believe you because the Bible says that people worship another Jesus. So I believe you. But, you know, in Exodus 32:1, now when the people saw that Moses was delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled around Aaron and said to him, "Come make us a God who will go before us, as for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt. We don't know what has happened to him. He's been up there way too long and all that seeking stuff." Now, Aaron didn't have the ability to bring God's presence down like Moses could during that time. All he knew was to make a substitute, which is crazy, for God's presence. And we've watched in awe how many in the ministry are not only substituting the presence of God with a golden calf, but are also becoming priests and advocates of the humanistic and demonic doctrines. Selah. Although Aaron had changed sides, so to speak, he continued to still act as a priest in the Lord in his function. Though he was serving a different God, verse 4, he was still functioning in the same capacity as he was before. I dare say scores of ministries are bordering on this state of ministry today. But the Bible says those who know their God shall do great exploits. And I love in Daniel 11:32, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he pervert by flatteries." Yeah, flatteries, likes. Anyway, let me keep going. I won't get on that. I mean, that's a common day parallel to flatteries. And I really don't hear it preached on much because everybody's partaking of it because it helps put dollars. I get it, but we got to be conscious of this kind of stuff. Not being conscious of it is going to wreck us and get us carnal. Being conscious of the fact that, okay, this picture's big enough. Why don't I put my face in the background and put, you know, whatever, the title of the thing. I mean, there's so many little things that when God touches your heart and you genuinely open your eyes to kingdom, you see this stuff now for what it is. And you see it's things that you're putting on top of what you're doing. And a lot of these things are the things that are turning folks off. And here's the deal. People don't trust God. Because there's a grace for giving that comes when we're obedient to the scriptures and the word of God. And there's a boldness that comes even with money. There's an anointing on people. And you don't have to twist them and fake them. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. The people that know their God, think that's a general statement right there. The people. Who's that? Anybody. Anybody. I mean, God will find you and use you, you know. The greater works that Jesus promised for those who walk in the strength of the Holy Spirit, he says, are the ones that are led by the Spirit. So those who know how to build in the Spirit are laying up a sure foundation for apostolic ministry and raising up men and women of God for the future that got their head on straight about what they're doing, what their purpose is, and what the things that they need to hold to. And I'll talk about some of the specifics maybe in the next one, but I just would love to give another example here in these closing times. But, you know, let me just say this, how do I sum it up? Revivals are built upon men and women who build in the Spirit. They initiate a move. They may not be able to build, but they initiate this move in the Spirit. And that takes something in its own, because we have to all be initiators of spiritual releases. And I'm not just talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm just talking about the living in a, sorry.
Miller, PR.
Sorry about that. 684. Living in a place in the Spirit. This guy's been trying to reach me for a minute now. He's a young evangelist. He's crazy. And he ended up busting out and going out in the parks because he couldn't go anywhere, and it busted out. Now he's got about 75, 80 people. He cast the devil out, baptized, got him in his church, and he's young. And the pastor told him, I don't want them there. They're yours. And he's like, I don't want to be a pastor. Talking about evangelist. And so I'm trying to walk him through what to do with the people, you know. And he's turning out to shaping up. He built a team.
That's a powerful example of what it is you're just talking about. That was right on time.
He built a team. He's built a team already out of the people that he's got saved, and checks and balance. Anyway, I just love to see it while everybody else is complaining. And the age group is the group we're not supposed to be able to be reaching again, by the way. Yo, farts. That's the problem. Revivalists are, that's why they can't reach him. You know, but revivals are built upon people that know how to build in the future. And I'm not talking about a revival like we're going to hold a revival meeting. I'm talking about living in a place of life-giving ministry. I mean, and see, some people say, well, you know, but even their countenance don't look like they're free because they're a prophet. That's all prophet power. You know, but we're a new covenant prophet, and so the first thing you've got to learn is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithful, gentleness, and self-control, and they ain't none up on you. So you missed filter number one. You had to go back to kindergarten again, you know? When we learn to build and minister in the supernatural dimension, we can change, then we can change cities and regions and nations, because we're maneuvering somewhere in the spirit, by the spirit, through the spirit, and that moves us. Like Jesus, when he walked through the crowds of people, he walked through, turned and walked through them. There's a difference in getting stoned, baby. Anyway, I won't take that and run. But and walking through the crowd. You know, many powerful things can happen when the heavens become open through ministries that live and build in the spirit, you know. Paul the Apostle, you know, he was the closest concept of building in the spirit just about that we can see in the scriptures. And basically everywhere he went, they said that he turned the cities upside down, but we'll say right side up. He turned them right side up. You know, he turned them the right direction. They said upside down, but he was really turning them up. You know, he affected and influenced the business world in Acts 19, 24 to 20. I mean, he influenced and changed commerce by the gospel crossing over something that messed with a man's business, that then caused a controversy, that then overrode what was going on. And the spirit world in Acts 19, 13, I love Acts 19, it's a great portion. You know, it's their spirit world in there. It says new, they got affected by it. And then the religious world in Acts 19, 8 through 10, they were affected by what Paul was doing. And the media world at that time, the known world, you know, the books and the publishers of that time, ends up at the end of it. Now that world is affected. But I'm sure those aren't mountain little pebbles that he had to deal with. I'm being smart, Alec, but
they were actually kingdoms. He actually he overturned kingdoms also.
Yeah,
I mean he got into it because people thought that they were running it. They thought that it was theirs, and he made it. He said, no, it does not belong to you.
Well, the thing about it is too, as I keep emphasizing, his only motive was to preach Christ, not to overturn a city, not to target a mountain or kingdom. He wasn't trying to target him. He just was being faithful to his calling, and being faithful to his call. He knew that wasn't sitting at a church every single week and talking to his 10 folk by phone or whatever, or avoiding them because he's so stressed out because he's got 95 people. You know, whatever. And I'm not making fun of folks. I'm really not. But I'm just saying, you know, you got to grow where you can handle capacities of, no, but the Lord just from, and it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Everything that's healthy multiplies in some capacity. You know, that's why I tell some guys, I'm like, they're like, well, people, I train them up and then they leave immediately. And, you know, they're all, and then I said, okay, what, if that just keeps happening until you learn what to do different, why don't you just let that be what you do? Keep in touch with them. You know, while you got to fight something, make something. That's when people get in control and domination and depression and everything else. Take a Holy Ghost, a chill pill, and, you know, and but press on what you have, you know. I mean, Paul had times when no man stood with him. He preached anyway. He had times that just few stood with him. He preached on anyway. He had times that multitudes followed him. He preached on anyway. He was phased by, just like Jesus, he was phased by it. He knew that was a product of what he was doing, but that's not what he's doing. You know, I hope that makes sense. But, you know, he wasn't carried by waves. He created waves wherever he went, you know. And that's what I always say about ministry, and specifically apostles and prophets ministry, can and will become thrust for moves of God in the future. I mean, the problem is immature prophets, they sit around and point everything out wrong, but they can't move anything in the spirit. And they shouldn't be point people. They should be down the line folks, you know, giving input on it, because you can't sit at point and say, don't do nothing. Always be afraid to do some. Always scared of the evil in front of you. Okay, then somebody else is going to say, okay, honey, you sit down and we'll be back in a minute. But we're going to go out and fight for your freedom while you're sitting in here complaining. Hopefully you'll pull for us. I know it's getting close. Mark 16:20, I was thinking about that text, and it's just a good, plain gospel text. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs that followed. And some of the things I like to talk about, I want to kind of get into some of these things, because here's what we see in scriptures is just Matthew 6:33. As soon as they started moving into this, the people started prospering.
Yes. Yes. And guess what? We're out of time for today. And we want to invite you, all of the different people. Nicole came on, Frederick came on, Mark came on, all of you people, please, please, please join us next week. I don't know, Barry, there may be people I didn't see. But at any rate, we really appreciate you allowing us to come into your space and release what it is and take what it is that Apostle Barry has taught today. Take notes on it. Take it into you. Walk in this. Walk in this. Find your place in the kingdom. Find your place. David Braxton, thank you so much for coming on. Find your place in this and move. Don't be no still butt person. Don't just be somebody that's constipated. Go ahead and allow it to move through and out of you. And if you desire to give into the ministry, you see the information there. Betty Jo, hi. You see the information on the screen. And so please, if you choose to do so, do that. But Apostle Barry and I will be back next week when we're here still telling it like it is. And remember to sign up for the Convergence. Remember to meet us at the Convergence. We want to see you. We want to hug you. We want to talk to you. So we'll see you next time when we're here still telling it like it is. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Kingdom First TV, your station for kingdom inspiration.